I have a question for you to start out the sermon, but I want to tell you right up front, it's a trick question. So here it is. What did God create first? Well, if you're like any normal person, you're going to immediately go to Genesis, right? For the story of how God created the world, and you're thinking, okay, what was it? Well, I'll let you out of your pain, okay? Actually, it was light, according to Genesis, that the scriptures tell us that in the beginning, the darkness covered the face of the deep, and then God says, let there be light, and bang, what? He created light. Bang. That was it. That's the first thing. But remember, I said it's a trick question? Yeah, it is. Because light isn't the answer I'm looking for today. The trick part of this is I didn't say what was the first thing God created as he created the world. I said what was the first thing he created. And you see, the answer to that one is found in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. Who can get it? Come on, let's open up our Bibles. Come on, let's go. I told you this is going to be kind of interactive kind of sermon. So this is interactive. What is the answer there? What did God create first? When you find it, yell it out. Huh? What? Me. And who's me? Wisdom. That's right. It's wisdom. Let's read it together. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Isn't it strange to think that at the very beginning, before anything was created, before the world came into being, wisdom was the first thing God did. But you know what else is kind of strange? Is to all of a sudden see wisdom as almost alive. To be personified, what we're going to find out, is personified as a woman, as a living entity. I think that's really weird. Okay? You know, up to now, as we've been reading through Proverbs, it's been kind of like told as if we're overhearing wise old King Solomon as he's giving out his bits of instruction and advice to all these little students all around him. But now, there's a change. We move from every chapter starting out with, my child do this, my child follow this instruction, my child, if you do that. And now, it's as if wisdom is this living, breathing person speaking as a wise and sensible mom sharing with her children the success about life. The writer, of course, we call this, if you, you know, we have probably some English teachers here, you know what's happening here. It's a speech device called personification, right? It's taking tough, inanimate, kind of abstract ideas that are way up here and assigning human actions or human characteristics so that we can understand it, bring it down to earth. And so we do this all the time. I don't know if you realize it, but I just, you know, decided to look at some pictures. Like we look at the U.S. Constitution, old Ironsides, and we say, oh, she has a fine line. As if a boat is a she? Really? Or, you know, how do you ever get your head around justice? You know, explain and define what justice is. And all of a sudden, they have a statue called Lady Justice or Lady Liberty. It's something we do all the time in order to take what is so abstract, so difficult, and just try to pin it down and make it a little bit more grabbable. And what better down-to-earth image of wisdom than your mom, right? Your mom, your wise old mom. Well, no, wise experienced mom, okay? Wise experienced mom, you know, that kind of really can tell us what wisdom is all about. In his little book, Frederick Buechner, he's this incredibly gifted Presbyterian pastor who just can take these big ideas and bring them down. He has this book called Whistling in the Dark, a theological ABC. I love the title. But anyway, he talks about wisdom and why it's named woman. And he says this, wisdom is not only of the mind, but of intuition and heart, like a woman's wisdom. It's born out of suffering as a woman bears a child. It shows a way through the darkness, the way a woman stands at the window holding a light. And what's the writer of Proverbs trying to make here? What's the point as creating or talking about wisdom as a woman that God created? Well, I think, first of all, he's trying to make the point that wisdom doesn't happen by itself. It's just not a bunch of human advice, you know, Dear Abby columns that somehow just kind of appear. No, the way of wisdom is something God created long before anything else was ever conceived, and it's always been with us. So we find the writer of Proverbs in chapter 8, verses 29 through 31, saying, when God marked out the foundations of the earth, you know, before he's getting at the plans to put it all together, wisdom tells us, I was right there beside him, like a master worker, and I was his daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabitant earth or world, and delighting in the human race. And I get this, now I know this is a stretch, but I get this idea that God has to have a woman there, a woman's imagination to help him make sure that everything's right, a woman's eye that tells him, yeah, you hung it straight, yeah, the sun is right where it needs to be, and a woman's spirit to measure the beauty of. Just like how often I love Jeannie coming up and saying to me, oh, good job, Mark. You did it really good. Way to go. So, what is this wisdom of God that we're told is implanted or maybe embedded in creation? Okay? Is it merely knowledge? Is it just learning facts or the figures? Or is it something more? Well, perhaps Proverbs can give us some insight from wisdom herself. So what I did was I simply kind of took different parts of the first part of the chapter where wisdom is explaining what she's all about and what it's, you know, how we might describe what wisdom is. So I put the words, you know, like it's learn prudence. We don't use that word very often. Prudence, okay? To acquire intelligence. It's not just facts. It's what is right. It's truth. It's righteousness. It's one who, you know, it's a straight way for somebody who understands. And it's finding knowledge, it's truth, it's being able to take instruction and knowledge. Next, it's learning again, live with prudence, and it's knowledge, and I love this, discretion. Discretion, that's what wisdom is. And then finally it says walking in the way of righteousness or paths of justice. Okay, so now we put all those kind of descriptions together. Next slide, please. Okay, there they are. Now, this is where I'm going to throw it out to you. And I'm going to do something. I know it's a little bit risky, but this is something I saw demonstrated. I was at this national convention. It was for all ELCA senior pastors of large churches like this place. And we were together, and the presiding bishop, you know, the top dog, he came and he preached. Oh, he did a wonderful job. But one of the things he did, he said, I'm learning to let the word of God come from you. So he stopped and we all talked. He threw out a couple ideas and we all talked. and gave our thoughts about it. So we're going to try that now, okay? So what I want you to do is just turn to somebody around you, either from front and back, side, and I want you to imagine that you're going to tell a kid what wisdom is, okay? You're going to define it. So I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to kind of put it together, and then we're going to kind of share it to our ideas about what is wisdom, and there's all that. So let's go for it, okay? Give you 2 minutes. Let's go. Okay, let's hear some of the, I have to share with you what the 8:30 crowd did. Pastor Gene gave a great description. He said, after 25 years, I realized I didn't know very much. And his wife, Margaret, said, you're finally getting wise. So I think that's pretty good. That's a pretty good definition. But what about somebody else? Any ideas? What'd you talk about? Yeah, Will?
It's that experience of knowing what's good, what's bad to do. And not just, you know, right, wrong, proud, but, you know, don't let it look before you post it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good choice. That's a wise thing. Yeah, what else? Okay, learning from our elders. Okay, what's our elder? Better be careful with that, Diane. Okay, learning. Did you notice which word comes twice in this? Prudence. I thought that was unique. Prudence. And then prudence to me is this ongoing kind of dialogue that has a little bit of restraint, right? You're constantly evaluating and you're kind of, you know, engaged in it. And it takes time and it takes experience to understand what prudence is. And I think that's kind of what we see in the book of Proverbs. It's just not knowledge, but it's what you do with the knowledge. It's not just the facts, but it's the intelligence that's coupled with, and how it all starts, that the way of wisdom is first with the fear of the Lord. That's the first thing. Kind of like when Jesus says, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his justice, and then everything else falls into place. Well, that's the idea about what wisdom is in this particular passage. So the big question is, how do we get wisdom, okay? Well, remembering what Pastor Steve challenged us last week with, he said, you know, he quoted, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He will make your paths straight, okay? He and I learned that same verses out of the same translation. And you know, what it tells us is, first of all, to get this wisdom, it's not something that we can do or find in ourselves. It's not going to be something we just purchase or read in a book. So maybe we need to hear from wisdom itself to find out that creation has something to tell us. And let creation preach a sermon. For my devotions, I've been using this book, Henry Nouwen's Following the Movement of the Spirit, and it's called Spiritual Formation. And Henry Nouwen, I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a Catholic. He was a Catholic theologian. He was at Yale, at Harvard. Just really, really good. He sort of like has the insight that Mother Teresa has, you know, one of these, ooh. Anyway, he suggests that spiritual formation, the first step in spiritual formation is learning how to empty yourself. And he calls it this, receptive emptiness. Don't you love that? We have to have receptive emptiness or unknowingness. Because he says, you know, we come with so many ideas about God, but we can't be filled because they're all there. So we got to empty it all out. And he says it this way, it is our heart that needs to become empty enough for the Spirit to enter and fill it. And he calls it, that's what spiritual formation, the emptying and the filling, the emptying and filling. So what he suggests then, one of the ways in which to be filled by the Spirit is to engage in a contemplative dialogue with nature. In other words, to go out in nature and let nature preach God's sermon to you. And I want to just read one portion of this paragraph. He's talking about how, you know, going out into nature and creation, we see it transcendent, and we get to begin to understand who God is. And he says this, when you do this, it becomes transparent and life starts to speak a new language, revealing to us the goodness and beauty of God. The plants and the animals with which we live teach us about birth, about growth, maturation, and death, and the need for the gentle care, and especially about the importance of patience and hope. And it was that last line that really grabbed me, about patience and hope. And I thought, well, boy, a gardener knows all about patience and hope. And I thought, boy, Mark, that's something you need in your life a little bit more. So I decided to go out and hear the sermon, okay? So I went out, and I have this place out in my front garden. It's a bench, and there's these huge pine trees there. And I sit there. And so I sat there, and I started the process. And I just want to share with you what I did and what I heard, okay? So anyway, I started to pray for God to just empty me. I read some scripture. I've been just using Psalm 23 as my kind of thing that I keep on memorizing and saying all the time. And, you know, the first thing I noticed, next slide. I noticed how the tree in front of me was just stretching up into the sky, and there were all these branches up there. And I looked at it, and I thought, oh, if I had the wisdom to live my lives with my arms stretched out to God all the time. Imagine what my life would be, always seeking Him first. Then I saw how slender the tree trunk was, and this haphazard way that the branches were all over the place. And I thought, you know, there's no rhyme or reason there, but yet it seems to have balance. And it keeps this tree straight. And then I started to realize that God was telling me that trust that all the things in life, the people, the difficult things, as well as the good things, will keep you in balance with Him. Then I started to think about the unseen roots underneath me and how rooted that tree was and kept it there no matter what, no matter the wind that's blowing through, it was straight. And I imagined how much nutrients and water were flowing into that tree to keep it healthy. And I prayed, oh Lord, please help me
get my roots down into you? Help me to just have them so deep that no matter what happens in my life, I can stay strong, focused on you. Then I looked at the leaves with the pine trees, and they were just swaying, oh, back and forth. The wind was blowing through, and all of a sudden it hit me how rigid I am. Oh, how I'm in control. And I thought, oh, God, if only I would have the wisdom to let go and just sway with the way you send your spirit into my heart. And to be flexible and just let go. And then I saw there's just all these different kind of hostas with different colors and different sizes and all kind of these plants all around. And I realized how different they were and how they protected each other and how there were some plants that had to be under the shade and then they were protecting and how it all worked together. And all of a sudden, wisdom said, Mark, the way you live your life is realizing that everybody's gifted and everybody's beautiful. And that we all need each other, and we're all interconnected, and how much we need to live this way. And I got to that point where I said, wisdom, you're preaching too much to me now. I'm overwhelmed. And you see, the sermon I heard made me realize anew that the way of wisdom, God's wisdom, is all around us. If only we see it and take it in. You know, last week, or at the beginning of our series on Proverbs, Pastor Steve gave us a challenge that every day we would take one chapter out of the 31 chapters of Proverbs and read it. Well, I got another challenge to add to that. And that is this. To find some time this week for you to go out and hear the sermon that's constantly being preached out in God's creation. To take the time to sit by yourself, to be by yourself. And let me tell you, it takes time. It takes intentionality. But you see, there's something that God wants to tell you. And to grow you and to fill you up. And if you don't want to do it, do it anyway. Do it anyway. And may God's creation and its words fill and shape you with the way of wisdom.